Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, Ugly Podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
How are you, buddy?
I am so good. I can't put it into words. How are you, buddy?
I can't eat. I can't sleep. It's too good.
So those of you who listen to our minisodes already know this.
It's not a secret. This is coming out days after.
Yeah. Also, those of us who keep up to date with our Instagram page already know this. But it hasn't happened yet as of recording this. Lena and I are going to Disneyland in like 6 hours.
This is terribly last minute.
Truly, we came up with the idea on like Wednesday.
Yeah.
It is Saturday right now for context. We were like, what if we like went to Disneyland after the matinee on Saturday, we drove there, and then we were there Sunday, and then we came back.
Because you guys know, like friends of the podcast will know, one of our favorite memories from doing Utah Shakespeare Festival, our first season, was going to Disneyland like on a whim for one day.
Yeah.
So it feels like tradition at this point to just like go on a whim, right?
Yeah. So we were going to go, but Disneyland, which this is a good thing.
Yes, absolutely.
They have a new reservation system because of COVID. So you have to wear masks while you're there, but then also they only fill the park up to 25% capacity so that you're not like rubbing up against people the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But because of that, you have to reserve when you're going to go. So on Wednesday, we were like, let's go Sunday. Checked, all the spots were full.
Yeah.
Our dreams were shattered. We had to let go of that insane pipe dream.
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday, Friday at 4:30 p.m., I checked again on a whim and the reservations had opened up. And I bought us tickets, and now we're going.
Well, I think you're leaving out a key part of this story that is you sat at your computer for, like, what, like 3 hours?
Yeah, a very long time.
Disneyland's important to you and me. God bless you for doing that. And now we're going. I don't even know what I'm going to wear. Thank goodness I did laundry recently. I was just thinking that this morning.
Oh, seriously, I did laundry yesterday when I didn't think we were going anymore. Absolutely. I just did laundry.
Yeah. It's like, thank goodness I have underwear and like clean clothes.
And so literally we got the tickets last night, and then we had a show, and then we have a show this afternoon before we have to leave. Mm-hmm. And we have to record this episode now because we don't have time because we're going to Disneyland.
Yeah.
So it is a true scramble trip.
Truly.
It's going to be great.
But you know, I feel like that should just be tradition for us.
True. Well, happy Disneyland, everyone.
Yeah.
Hopefully we had a good time.
Yeah.
I imagine we did.
Could you imagine?
If like we had a huge falling out and a terrible time and now this episode's released and we're like bright-eyed and bushy-tailed?
I really hope not. But I doubt it. You and I are pretty even-tempered.
Mm-hmm.
And like we have like been like, we've like been forced to spend a lot of time together and we have yet to hate each other.
I was going to say, we are, you know, like we're even-tempered in the sense that I don't think either of us overreact a lot, but more important than that, I think we know each other well enough.
Yeah. Oh, that is true.
That we fully know when the other one is having a reaction to something, and like
that is true.
We need to just like give them space.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when I get super frustrated with electronics, that you're like, I'll just let him run the clock out on this, and we'll be fine in just a little bit.
And you know, sometimes I just need to have a sob.
Yeah, sometimes you're just gonna start crying, and that's okay.
Like, don't question it. It's just gonna happen. I have to get on the other side of it. If I hold it off for too long, I'll explode.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll fill with tears. And then it pops.
It'll come leaking out your ears.
Seriously, it'll be bad. Are you ready to talk about this episode?
Yeah, let's start it.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Frankly, this episode is a pipe dream. I don't remember it very much. I watched it literally last night.
I watched this episode yesterday and this morning, and I have so little to say about it.
Oh, I know.
We'll see what happens. Hello, everyone.
What is up?
My name is Ian Allred. I'm going to Disneyland in probably like 6.5 hours, mm-hmm. And I'm also a Gleek.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, you guys? My name is LPC, and in 24 hours, I will be in Disneyland.
True.
Whoa. What time does Disneyland open?
8 a.m., baby, and we're getting there at 8 a.m.
Oh, we're getting there at like 6 a.m. We're camping out. I'm bringing a chair.
Hear me out. I hate to make this a podcast where we talk about Disney, but I actually love to. I just feel bad for listeners. One of my favorite things is getting to the park like way too early.
Yeah, me too.
And going to Downtown Disney and getting beignets for breakfast. And then walking through Downtown Disney and then going and waiting for the park to open.
Don't threaten me with a good time, Allred.
And especially because we'll get to Anaheim at like 9 or 10 p.m.
Yeah.
So it won't be like
we'll
last
time. We'll take a melatonin and wake up at 4.
Last time where we got to Anaheim at 5 a.m. and then tried to sleep in the McDonald's parking lot. It didn't work.
It did not work. God, that was so fun.
That was the best.
Yeah. Today, we're older, we're wiser this time.
We don't have a nighttime show, which is the main difference.
Yeah, we also have a hotel for us. Mm-hmm. We've told the story on the podcast, but we were like trying to find an hourly hotel in Anaheim, because I've heard here tell that those things exist, you know, so I was like, what if we could like, you know, and your siblings were like, we need to sleep, we need to lay down. And I was like, I hear you. So you and me were like Googling shit and like walking up to hotels. We were like, hey.
Like we were like two horny teens on prom night.
Yeah.
Like we just need
we
2 hours.
We kept saying that we were, which is so weird. We kept saying it was prom night and we were going to lose our V card.
I forgot about that.
Which is so weird for everyone who's not us.
And we would like go up to the window of the hourly hotels and they'd be like, let me check if you have a room, and they would leave and we'd be like, please have a room, we have to lose our V cards.
I cannot believe we did that. I mean, we are so
to be fair, we had been awake all night.
No, that's true.
So we were a little loopy.
That is true. But we do have a hotel this time. No one's going to turn us away. We're going to actually lose our V cards this time.
The other thing I think that you said was it was after like our third hourly hotel that they were all booked. What was up with that?
It was like late September. It's Halloween, Disneyland.
But you were like, oh, I feel like Mary and Joseph. There's just no room at the inn.
No, for real. They kept turning us away and I was like, do you have a shed out back?
And they did, and it was called the parking lot of a 24-hour McDonald's.
You know what? And that was a safe place to lay. But I didn't sleep at all.
No.
Oh my gosh. That being said, I have almost nothing to say about this episode. Do you want to call it now?
I'm just kidding. And that's an episode on the Spanish teacher. An episode that is 80% about the adult characters. I don't care.
No, absolutely.
Let's bite the bullet.
Fine, twist my arm.
Spanish teacher, baby.
Oh yeah, it's time for the glacks.
The Spanish teacher. It is an even numbered episode, so I'm the one taking the glacks this time.
True, true, true.
I've got to find this pattern, y'all. So, the Spanish teacher is the 12th episode of Glee's third season and the 56th episode overall. It premiered on February 7th, 2012. This episode was directed by Paris Barclay and written by, can you guess? It's one of our big three. I think it'll make you upset.
No, I think it's Ian Brennan. That's a shame because it sucks.
It does.
There are some very funny jokes in this episode, though. Mm-hmm. So good for him for that. But overall, I think this is my least favorite episode of the season so far.
Yeah. Really? Would you say your least favorite episode of the season so far? I don't know what I would say mine is, but I don't like making decisions like that.
I think the first time filled me with more rage, but this episode it's like mashup and Night of Neglect.
Yeah,
like it didn't make me angry.
That's so
true. It just was so forgettable.
That's so true. Like, yeah. I would much rather watch like a a really bad episode.
Yeah, like one that like gives me an emotional reaction instead of like, okay, how much longer is there in this?
That's so true. There are things I do like about this episode. Yeah. Mostly the culmination of Will being a Spanish teacher, question mark. But I'll get into, there's some reviews in there which like put it into pretty good words. So I'll tell you all about that. Let's talk about the songs in this episode. So we have, listen, Glee Wiki is dry this week. So I'll keep it short and I'll keep it brief so we can get to Disneyland fast. Just kidding. So first we have Sexy and I Know It by Laughing My Fucking Ass Off. Lymphow. Thank you.
That sounds like, it sounds like a disease. Like I hate to tell you this. You're going to want to sit down. You have lymphow.
Oh, fuck.
Eek.
This is performed by David Martinez with the New Directions. David Martinez is obviously portrayed by one Enrique Iglesias.
What?
Wait, what?
No. It's Ricky Martin.
Martin. His first name is Enrique in real life.
Okay.
And there's an Enrique Iglesias name on here. I promise I'm not an idiot. My head got mixed up.
You're good.
His Christian name is Enrique Martin Morales.
Okay.
His stage name is Ricky Martin.
I did have a moment of panic where I was like, Enrique Iglesias? And I had no idea.
I'm so sorry. That is absolutely the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to me. I know that these are two separate people. And frankly, like, I understand. I'm sorry. Oh, God. Embarrassing. So, but his Christian name is Enrique Martin Morales. And there is an Enrique Iglesias song in here. I'm going to beat that to death so people know I'm not an idiot. So, Ricky Martin. Is a Puerto
Rican.
Ricky Martin. When are we going to get that right? How many is it? Is it four?
I think it's four.
Okay. Because I think someone said it was three.
That person who said it was three was me. I will own up to that.
Yeah.
And then because the TikTok that I had watched was three, but then I watched like
the
actual.
With the girls and their mom, right?
In their mom's casket, yes.
Sad.
But then I watched the like actual song trend and I counted and I think it was four.
Oh yeah, it's a real song.
Yeah.
I forget.
I do too, because frankly the song is like whatever. I'm looking for the TikTok trend where the girl is singing it to the boy her roommate brought over until he leaves her bed.
Till he leaves. I love that. That trend is so funny. Anyway. Okay. Like I said.
Ricky Martin.
Okay. He's a Puerto Rican singer, songwriter, actor, author, and record producer, and humanitarian, known as the King of Latin Pop and as the Latin King of Music. He began his career at 12 with an all-boy pop group called Menudo. After 5 years with the group, after 5 years with the group, he broke off and he became like a single artist. And he released several Spanish language solo albums in the 90s. And then in like 1999 is when he released his first English album or like, you know, I think it was both.
Yeah.
It was, but in English. So like, you know, American listeners were like, this is the shit. That was 1999, entitled Ricky Martin. So in 1999... Live in La Vida Loca came out, and this was, like, huge, and it brought a lot of, like, Spanish music into, like, the English-speaking market, which was a huge deal, and, yeah, and it was super awesome, and he has gone on to sell over, like, 70 million copies worldwide of Ricky Martin, and it's amazing, and he's really great, and he actually is in... The Assassination of Gianni Versace, which is another Ryan Murphy show. And he actually was nominated for a Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Limited Series or Movie. Isn't that awesome?
That is cool.
I know. So, yeah. So, Ricky Martin is in this episode. He's super awesome. Yeah. Welcome to the show.
And also goodbye farewell. From the show. You're only in this one episode.
I know, which is funny. I think he's fun in the episode.
Well, and it also ends with like him taking Will's old job and teaching at the school full time, and we never see him again.
Yeah.
Bye, David.
I know, which is interesting because it's like, oh, we learn that he's a great teacher and is like inspiring these students to like want to learn Spanish. I don't know.
That's weird.
I know. Well, maybe he just like didn't want to.
Honestly, I can't blame you.
Yeah.
I would want to.
I would
but
too.
But that's because I don't have self-respect.
Yes.
And the fact that you didn't want to, I respect that.
Yeah.
I think that's very brave.
It's like you're like taking it as fact that I just said that. Okay, so moving on with the songs, I kind of did a jump around. The next song we have
jump around, jump up to get down.
We have "Don't Want to Lose You" by Gloria Estefan. Which, fun fact, Gloria Estefan is in this television show.
Is she Judd? Oh no, no, no! She's Santana's mom.
Exactly, she's Santana's mom. That's Isn't that awesome?
Right,
that's super cool. I had no idea. But Mercedes is singing this song, and then we have "Bumbaleo" slash "Hero" by Gypsy King slash Enrique Iglesias, which is where my mind got Enrique Iglesias. You guys, I know they're two separate people. Do not fucking come for me.
It's by Enrique Martin. I need to tell you.
I'll kill you. performed by Sam Evans with the New Directions Boys. And then we have "La Isla Bonita" by Madonna, performed by Dave Martinez and Santana Lopez. And then rounding out the episode, we have "A Little Less Conversation" by Elvis Presley, performed by Will Schuster. Then obviously we have La Cucaracha in there as well. Listen, we obviously have Ricky Martin as David Martinez in this episode. That begins and ends the interesting things about this episode, technically. Truly, there is like we are dry when it comes to this. So this is the seventh episode where Rachel doesn't sing a solo.
I noticed that on my second watch through and I was like, praise be.
Frankly, I didn't notice it at all, which I think says a lot about how I watch this show now, you know. I don't know. So Jenna Ushkowitz and Darren Criss are both not in this episode. I am unsure why Jenna Ushkowitz is not in the episode.
They just forgot that she was in the show.
They just like forgot to call her to set.
Yeah.
They, like, she didn't get a car brought to her house.
She's like at her apartment, yeah. All dressed up, yeah. Waiting for the car.
She's and like in her jammies, like holding her coffee, ready to go. Because that's how people get brought to set. I'm sure of it.
True.
And they didn't bring her a car, so she's not in this episode.
Yeah.
We know why Darren Criss is not in this episode, but they make jokes later about why Jenna... Tina Cohen-Chang is not in this episode. Mm-hmm. And I guess we'll look out for that. I don't want to spoil it because it's really weird and I don't want to, you know, spoil it. Spanish is actually Harry Shum Jr.'s first language.
Oh.
I know. He was born in Costa Rica and he lived there with his family until he was 6 years old.
Dang.
He moved to America. Isn't that amazing? Dang. I had no idea. The man doesn't say a word in this episode.
Hey, he says bumbaleo bumbalea.
You're right. during the performance of Sexy and I Know It, Finn draws a face on a box. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a reference to LMFAO, like the band.
Mm-hmm.
Limfow. This episode, I don't know where this rating comes from, but received a 3.3 rating in the 18 to 49 category with 7.8 million total viewers, which is not good.
That's like over a million less than last week.
Yeah. Which is crazy because it's Ricky Martin. And I mean, at least I grew up in a house that loved Ricky Martin.
But like last week was like a tribute episode for Michael Jackson, like the biggest pop artist of all time.
That makes sense.
And so a lot of randos watched it.
Yeah.
And they're not going to like stick around for our regularly scheduled program.
Sure, absolutely. And it's like, it's not even like this is like a Ricky Martin episode.
No.
They don't sing... they don't
There's no La Vida Loca in this thing. Are you kidding me?
Come on. excuse me. When Will asks where they think they'll be in 2030, Rachel and Kurt both say Broadway, and then they say Twinsies. This is a reference to the YouTube video Girls Say Episode 1. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
I do. Love that video.
I did not realize that that was a reference to that.
I know, me neither. so this is the second 12th episode in a row in which Mercedes, Rachel, and Kurt are seen having a sleepover. The first was in Silly Love Songs. A tradition that I, if you do it twice, is it a tradition? Much like you and me going to Disneyland right now?
Honestly, might as well.
I know.
You know what another tradition is?
Mm.
The second 12th episode in a row where Tina has been kicked out of her own friend group and replaced with
Literally.
Rachel Berry. Tina was Mercedes' best friend and she was Kurt's second best friend. And when they decided to make Rachel become friends with both of them, yep. Tina got the axe.
Which, and like, Jenna they Ushkowitz can't have another person in there?
Jenna Ushkowitz is just standing on a street corner with her coffee in her sweats, waiting for the car that's
she's
never going to come.
She's in her Hugg boots.
Seriously.
It's 2012. Of course she's wearing those. I am too.
Were those around in 2012?
I was wearing them. Probably not.
Listen. I was going to say, Hugg boots were like 2008.
Listen, I love Hugg boots. To this day. I think they're the they're why they're so comfortable. I understand they're ugly. But why are they so deliciously comfortable? You ever worn some?
No.
Oh my God, you need to.
But that's why Jenna Ushkowitz was wearing them in 2012.
Yeah.
As she was waiting for the car that would never come. Because they're comfortable. If you're going to stand on a street corner for 6 hours until you realize that they forgot to call you to set.
Yeah.
You want to be wearing Uggs.
I would.
Uggs. The shoes to be stood up in.
That's so true. Okay, let me tell you about the critical response to this episode, and then I'll be done with the glax, because heaven knows there's none. And this is the weirdest thing ever, and this is how middle of the road this episode is. The Spanish teacher was given mixed to positive reviews. All the reviews are essentially like, Emily Vanderwerf of the AV Club said, much of this episode felt like very deliberate throwback to season one in some very good ways. And then someone else was like, does a lot of things right when it comes to the plot, but like wasn't very well managed. Blah, 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 blah. And like I think a lot of them are saying like they wanted to throw back to, and they wanted to remind us that Will taught Spanish and like be like, hey, we know what we're doing. But they keep saying like the rest of the episode is very scatterbrained. Mm-hmm. Ricky Martin got not so great reviews in the episode. They just said like he was meh, but he was fun and infectious and showed himself to be a guest star with mucho potential, says Vanderwerf. I don't know. Yeah. It was like so middle of the road. Everyone was like, yeah, he's not a great actor, but like we're excited to see him again. He never comes back. And all the reviews are like, yeah, like this part is fun, but it's also like, man, like I don't really know what they're trying to tell me with this. I don't know.
Yeah.
So like that's how middle of the road this is. Like we can't even like pick it apart. Mm-hmm. Just because it's so meh.
But we're gonna try anyway. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
I could recap this episode of Glee. I could recap this episode of Glee. One more time. I could recap this episode of Glee. I could recap this episode of Glee.
Very good, thank you.
Here's what you missed on Glee. A tenure spot opens up at McKinley. After a student complains about Will's Spanish class, he brings in the night school Spanish teacher to help him teach the Glee Club. Sue tries to get pregnant. Roz Washington is brought on to help her coach the Cheerios. Mercedes struggles to decide between Shane and Sam. After Santana points out Will's lack of passion for Spanish and his reliance on stereotypes, he switches to teaching history and gives a Spanish position to David, the night school teacher. Emma gets tenure. And that's what you missed on Glee!
I don't think I understood what tenure was. Or, no. I still don't understand what tenure is. Let me rephrase this. I didn't know that tenure wasn't 10 year until like 2 weeks ago. I swear to God. Like, I always thought it was like a position for professors who worked for 10 years mm-hmm. and then got tenure. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize it was tenure until I saw it written out like 2 weeks ago, I swear.
This is Google. Typically, teachers receive tenure when they've shown 5 to 10 years of commitment to teaching, research, and particular institution. I always thought that tenure had something to do with you had to be teaching for a minimum of 10 years as well.
Yeah.
That's.
But you knew it wasn't.
I knew it was a different word, but I thought it was one of those deals.
Who told you? I'm just kidding.
I thought it was one of those deals where it's like, it's from a Latin word meaning 10 years, and that's why it like kind of sounds like it. But no, that's not true. But yeah, I still don't. So, I mean, like, we both know that tenure is like, you know, really good job security.
Yeah, I didn't realize that high school teachers got tenure.
Did I?
I mean, I think it makes sense.
I mean, I had some high school teachers that like, man, why were they there?
Yeah.
And it was probably because they had tenure so they couldn't get fired.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Because they
tenure.
Truly lost all passion for their job.
Every time I hear about tenure, it's always in a context that is like, this educator is like, you know, a little past their prime, is not like blah, 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 blah. And it's like, oh, we can't do anything about it. They have tenure, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think that's just because, though, you only hear about the bad cases.
That's like, true. Yeah.
No one's ever talking about like, this educator is so good.
And they love, have tenure.
Seriously. Yeah. And they love their job so much. And we're happy they have tenure. People are only ever like, yeah, this teacher sucks and we can't do anything about it because they have tenure.
Literally. Ugh. Well,
you want to hear something that I think is so funny about this episode?
I do.
This is like not a spoiler, but it is talking about future seasons. Uh-huh. So Alex, if you're going to angry text me about this, just take a chill pill. So this episode ends. I love you. This episode ends with Emma getting tenure, mm-hmm, which means that, like, you know, Emma has very great job security at McKinley and she's going to be teaching at McKinley for a very long time. Jemma Mays rightfully,
yeah,
got a little disillusioned with Glee because she was so frequently pushed to the background. And so she actively left the show. And they could only get her to agree to come back as a guest star every few episodes. And so it is so funny to me that this episode ends with like, Emma's going to be here for a long, long time. And then fast forward just like a year.
Yeah.
And Emma is showing up twice a season.
Yeah.
Because Jemma Mays was off pursuing other projects.
Yeah. There's literally like, I remember seeing an episode like towards the end where they like just put a woman in a red wig.
No, there is a scene, you are so right. There's a scene where you only see Emma from the back and it's a body double.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't get Jemma Mays.
Well, write her into the show.
She was off doing the Smurf movies, come on.
Oh, you're right. Did you ever see those?
Absolutely not.
Me neither.
And she's too good for them. Honestly, when is Hollywood going to recognize that Jemma Mays is very talented?
I know, she's great.
Come on.
Jemma, we love you. Friend of the podcast, Jemma Mays. How do you want to break down this episode? We have like the whole, like, I don't know, Will's a Spanish teacher thing. Mm-hmm. We have the 10-year race. We have, Finn and Rachel telling people about their engagement. We have a little Sam Sadies.
I think we have a lot Sam Sadies. We have far more Sam Sadies than we have Finchel. Finn and Rachel get like a scene.
I guess you're right.
Yeah, I have my notes. I have broken down as all the Will stuff, which is like Will and David and Emma and all that.
Yeah.
All the Sue stuff, which is like her trying to get pregnant. And then Sam Sadies with guest star Finchel for like 5 seconds.
Sure.
That's what I have. I also have 2 pages of notes and I usually have minimum 4.
Oh, so cute. I have like, like, I see all of my notes right now on my page, so.
Heck yeah, let's go.
Hell yeah, what do you want to start with?
Oy, I don't know. Maybe let's end with Will, because I have the most to say about Will.
Yeah.
Do you want to start with Sue or with Sam Sadies?
Let's start with Sue, I guess.
All right. Yeah?
The idea that everyone keeps saying to her, with whose vagina? That's really funny.
I was going to say, this plotline is the plotline that initially I dislike the most.
Okay.
Just because I'm like, Sue's having a baby. Like, yeah, are you kidding me? Have we run out of ideas? But when I watch the episode in completion, I can't deny it's the highlight of the episode.
I agree.
It is so funny.
And like, listen, I totally agree with you. Like, where are we now that like, Sue is not running for Congress anymore. She like has no beef with the Glee Club, I guess. Like now it's like
wants Will to father her child.
I know. Which like, ugh, let's get into that. With whose vagina?
That, and the fact that Roz says it to her.
Yeah.
And then Santana says
literally,
it later.
Literally.
This is
the, and then the next episode when you and I guest star, we both say it.
We do at the same time.
Uh-huh. We go, with whose vagina?
But this is the plot line where I see Ian Brennan like actually, yes, doing what he does.
Absolutely.
Well. There is that whole monologue when Sue tells Roz that she is trying to start a family. Mm-hmm. And Roz just goes off about Sue having a baby at the age that she's at.
It's like 3 minutes long, right?
It is so long. NeNe Leakes does not stop talking. And it is incredible.
It's so good.
Some of the highlights are, you're not having a child, you're having a grandchild. They're going to get you up in those stirrups and a full-grown adult is going to pop out with a briefcase. And then she says, what you need to do is start praying that you give birth to a child that likes the taste of sand, because that's all that's coming out of those old wrinkly boobs.
How the fuck is NeNe Leakes on this show? She is too good for this show.
Crazy.
Seriously, when I think of NeNe Leakes, I think of, like, you know, the person on, you know, Real Housewives.
Uh-huh.
I don't think of, like, an incredible, beautiful actress, an inspiring woman with incredible monologues. What the fuck?
No,
she's so good on this show.
I feel the opposite. I think this show is so good to NeNe Leakes. Like, frankly, and don't get me wrong, I think she's incredible on this show.
Yeah.
I don't think NeNe Leakes is an actor.
That's the thing, is I don't think she is.
But I think that Ryan Murphy and, you know, like Brad Falchuk and Ian Brennan just really saw something in her, and they write to her strengths so well.
And they're so right for seeing it. It's great.
Because she is so funny in this show.
I love her.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man.
Also, she talks about how her qualifications for why she should coach the Cheerios. And she says, because I have this bronze medal from Beijing, I had noodles with the president and a threesome with Michael Phelps.
Seriously. So funny. Oh, I love her. On to the Sue of it all. What does Sue teach? Do we know if Sue is just the Cheerio coach? Which, like, that's not invalid. Coaches can be valid. But, like, I thought the tenured position was for,
like, an educator.
An educator.
Yeah.
And not, like, a coach. Like, is she an educator and a coach, or is she just the coach?
I think she's just the coach. Because, I mean, like, at a normal high school, at least where I grew up.
Yes.
If you were a coach, you taught a class.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you had to be, like, you know, the English teacher, and you taught so-and-so sport. But I think in the world of Glee, the Cheerios are so, so, so prestigious, and, like, they win so many awards that Sue's whole job is just coaching them.
Yeah.
But I completely agree with what you're saying. Is that open for tenure? Because she's not teaching classes.
I doubt it. Either way, I do like the drama that it brings,
mm-hmm.
of her being like, you're threatening my family. You know, that's funny to me. This episode gets so disgusting with her when it comes to her, like, talking about, like, talking to the New Directions boys about donating their sperm,
mm-hmm.
talking full voice at Will saying, like, give me your spunk. Like, it is so gross. It's pretty funny, though. Makes sense that it's Ian Brennan, but I don't know.
Yeah. Let's talk about the fact that she wants Will to be the father of her child. This show, so consistently.
Not David Boreanaz?
Right? You got Boreanaz on your little black book, Sue. Come on. This show tries so hard to convince us that Will is, like, the best. And he is so upstanding. And just, like, such a, like, loving and caring person. And even in this episode, they, like, intentionally make him kind of an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is purposeful.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought process was, why don't you just commit to this? Like, honestly, Will would bother me so much less if you guys were like, you know what? Will's kind of an asshole and we're not going to shy away from that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the fact that you have him do these, like, kind of asshole-y things, but then you keep trying to convince us that he's, like, the best teacher ever and such a loving and kind guy. Sue literally says in this episode that she's like, I constantly have tried to ruin Will's career and, like, tear apart his Glee Club, and he has always met me with kindness.
It's like, that's not true.
So he's like,
know that's not true.
Are we watching the same show? And here's the deal. I think, like, the responses that Will gives to Sue are merited most of the time because she is, like, coming after him and his job. But don't have him respond that way,
mm-hmm.
and then gaslight us by having her be like, and he's always so kind about it.
I know. But it's like, even in this episode, we see he is not a kind person when push comes to shove. He is actually terrible.
Yeah.
Like, at least show him being kind, you know?
We have, like, in Funk when he, like, tried to seduce her and,
like, that, like, ruined her. Like, that's traumatizing.
Emotionally manipulate her. he like always, whenever she insults him, always like tries to come back with some kind of insult, which is always embarrassing and never as funny as what she said. Stop trying to convince us that this man is like,
yeah, some upstanding guy, you know, annoying. Like, and that's the thing is we even see in this episode, he's not a kind person. He's not X, Y, or Z, and he's not even a good teacher. Like, what? He's like semi-okay at teaching Glee Club. Like, what? Where are this guy's merits? We'll talk about it later.
I just feel like someone behind the scenes, and you know, you can reach your own conclusions as to who. I truly don't know, and I'm not gonna like conjecture say who it is, but I feel like someone behind the scenes wants Will to be like the audience's hero so badly.
I can be your hero, baby.
Exactly. Because every once in a while, the writing will hint at taking his character in a different direction. Mm-hmm. Like season one, they would hint at like, oh, he's kind of out of touch with the youth and what's cool. He like wants him to do disco. And then they're like, oh, but also he raps and is super hot. So like, let's ignore that. And then they will hint at like, oh, he is like kind of selfish and kind of rude to people, but no, actually he's like a really nice guy and he's super kind. And it's like the show wants to take Will in a different direction, but there is some force that is like, no, you can't do that. Yeah. Will is,
he's our hero.
He is the hero. He is like the savior of everyone in this show.
Like, is that self-insert fan fiction? Mm-hmm. Is that like, you know, someone like had a really awesome teacher that they want to like pay tribute to? What's mm-hmm. going on here?
Because even in like season one, we have the scene where Emma calls Will out for being a slut and straight up like tells him he's a slut in front of everyone. Mm-hmm. And yet that gets blown over. And it's like, no, Will is so faithful and he's so great and he's so kind to Emma. Mm-hmm. Like, just honestly, I would like Will more if you just acknowledged and leaned into his flaws instead of pretending that they weren't there.
Absolutely. Because, like, I like watching shows about flawed characters. I just don't like being lied to.
Mm-hmm. I just don't like the show pretending they're amazing.
Yeah.
Because that's why I love Sue, who is, like, the most awful person on the planet. Yeah. And I no one shies hate away from Shelby that. Because the show wants me to think that Shelby is great.
Absolutely. It's like, I'm so lost here. But maybe, I don't know, maybe Glee exists on like a spectrum that is like people are like good and bad, but like on Glee, like the spectrum is like shifted to like mediocre to like evil, you know, like they can't be good. So the people who are mediocre bad are incredible. Like pretty good. Yeah. I don't know. But man.
All this to say, I think Sue wanting Will to be the father of her child is so dumb because I think Will is awful and the show tries to gaslight us into thinking he's not.
Agreed.
But I do like what she says to Emma. It, like, if she was speaking about someone who isn't Will, because I don't think it's true about Will, I do like what she says where she's like, I know that I am like a very vindictive and like mean person. Like, I know that about myself. Mm-hmm. And I don't want my child to be like that.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Like, I actually really like that moment of self-awareness from Sue and that kind of vulnerability that shows that, like, no, she is actually does not like that she's like this way. Yeah. She just, like, is kind of in pain and that's why she's always so awful to other people.
Yeah.
So I like that scene. If it wasn't about Will, the fact that it's about Will makes me hate it.
I agree. Yeah. And that's the thing that ruins it for me, too, is, like, such beautiful sentiment, like, you know what, like, I'm fucked up and I don't want to pass that on, but maybe this person will counteract it, you know. It's like, no, he won't. He's also so rude. Yeah. He loves these games you play.
They're just gonna be more outwardly mean and have a savior complex.
Literally.
Come on.
My god. Well, do I have more thoughts?
That's all I have to say about that.
Okay, cool. Then let's move on. Sam Sadies?
Sam Sadies.
All right. This is where we get some good songs. We have Don't Want to Lose You, and we have Bumbleo/Hero. I love that song. Bumbleo. Remember when that was a TikTok trend that people would pretend they were like jumping off buildings to that song?
No.
Oh, man. Well, it's not anymore, so I probably can't find it. Oh, tell me your thoughts about this plotline.
I like this plotline a lot. I do like that there is consequence to Mercedes having, I mean, because clearly this wasn't planned, because the only reason Shane exists is that Cordova Street left the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cordova Street came back and they were like, well, crap.
What do we do now? Yeah.
And what these writers would usually do is they would just have Mercedes break up with Shane off screen. She would mention it offhandedly one time and then she'd get with Sam. I like that this is an actual conflict.
I agree.
And they are having Mercedes like really wrestle with this.
Yeah.
I also just, Sam is such a sweetie. The moment when they're in Emma's office and Mercedes is like, Sam just tweeted that I smell good.
Yeah.
And then Sam goes, won't stop till it's trending.
Like, I fucking love that guy. I totally agree. There's something in that scene that is so funny to me. And that's what, another like tally to the like Glee characters exist on a different moral plane.
Mm-hmm.
So Emma gives her the, so you're a two-time and ho. Pamphlet. And Mercedes is like, no, I'm not, you know, and like she absolutely is, like, you know, just because she hasn't like had sex with Sam, she has fully kissed him, she is like actively like it like not maybe not pursuing, but it's like engaging in an emotional relationship with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's cheating on Shane, pardon me. But oh my god, I love them so much together, and what fun advice to like just don't speak for a whole week. I just think that is so fun and so like oh my god.
Also, we will get to this more when we get to the Will plot line, because Emma's more central in that, but as a longtime fan of Emma's pamphlets,
I know
I love an episode where they are at the center.
Me too.
And the fact that she has a pamphlet for So You're a Two-Time and Ho and So You're Dating a Two-Time and Ho.
of course and like I just I can't wait to talk about that part of the episode. But the Sam Sadies of it all. Very fun, very exciting. Love both of these songs. My one qualm with the Bombaleo / Hero mashup is it's not a mashup. It's just two songs like next to each other. I wish it was more of a mashup, but I do really enjoy it.
I also don't know. I mean, I do know why they did Hero, because, you know, like Enrique Iglesias is Latinx. But there's a full Spanish version of that song.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why didn't we do a little,
yeah,
a little bilingual, like a little half and half?
Absolutely,
it's weird. I do love. I don't have a lot to say about Bumbleo and I don't have a lot to say about either of these songs, frankly.
Yeah.
I just think they're both fun and good.
Yes.
I do love and don't want to lose you, the Gloria Estefan song. That when Mercedes switches to Spanish, it has a shot of Sugar being like, wait, what is happening?
Yeah,
like she looks so confused.
Actually, Sugar in this episode is so funny. She is definitely one of the character for reactions now.
Mm-hmm.
And my heart goes out to those characters. And Sugar has taken up this mantle beautifully. I love her.
You know, that's just the actors who are so desperately trying to get the writers to write them anything.
And sometimes it works, namely Santana Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
Sugar Mata.
Yeah, truly.
My heart goes out
to never gets an A-plot. Poor girl.
I know.
Vanessa Lungies, you're so talented. I'm very sorry how wasted you are on this show.
Let's watch Stick It. She is way less wasted than that movie. That being said, I like this plot. There's just not much to say about it.
I can't emphasize this enough. I don't have a lot to say about this episode, you guys.
I know.
Sam Sadies, hooray, it's fun. Mercedes sounds good.
Yeah.
Sam sounds good. Bumbleo is really fun. The end.
They are so cute.
I still don't buy that Rachel and Mercedes are friends. They're only friends when it's convenient for the plot.
No, and absolutely. They are only friends when it's convenient for the plot. And especially, but also they're enemies when it's convenient for the plot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pick one.
But that's why I'm like, where was Tina? The reason that Rachel was there is because they needed Rachel to talk about the engagement.
Yes.
But it would make so much more sense to
me. If it was just like all the Glee girlies, yeah.
Yeah, like honestly, if you needed to have Rachel there, that's fine. Just have Tina also there.
Yeah, agreed.
Because I believe that Tina would be the person that Mercedes would talk to if she was having boy trouble. I do not believe that she would talk to Rachel, not for one second. Mm-mm. It's dumb. Ugh.
Or Quinn.
True. Quinn Sadies. Wasted.
I do really like that scene, though,
mm-hmm.
with them and the three bowls of the three snacks. What was the third snack? I'll never know. I was trying to clock it so hard. It was popcorn and like veggie straws and what else? I have no idea. I will never know.
Just like a bowl of spaghetti that they're eating with their
hands. Hopefully they're like. I love that scene where they're watching Twilight.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. So that moves us into the Finchel.
A little Finchy Finch.
The Finchel. I love the scene with, obviously, the Twilight girlies. And I love the scene with Kurt and Finn mm-hmm. in the weight room. Oh my God. So sweet. And like, what is Kurt just like, obviously the son of Bert, like, is saying the things that Finn needs to hear. This man is incredible. Oh my God. When like Kurt says, like, you think that something you'd have to keep from the ones you love might not be the right thing to do? What? Mm-hmm. Oh my God. What wisdom. When I heard that and my, oh, whoa. Wisdom.
Hi.
So good. Love this scene. I really love, like, you know, him being like, your time isn't up. Like, you don't have to, like, give up on yourself. Because, like, that's the thing about this plotline that I like, that they're not shying away from. They're not doing it because they love each other. Obviously, Finchel loves each other. But it's because Finn feels backed into a corner, you mm-hmm. know, and feels like this is his only option. He has to, like, latch on to Rachel.
And he feels like Rachel's the only good thing he has. Absolutely. And he will lose her.
Absolutely. And, like, you know, thinking about this plot line a couple of weeks ago, obviously I was like, oh, I'm not excited for this. But I am excited for how it is dealt with. Like, watching it critically, I'm like, I'm actually kind of into it
mm-hmm.
because, you know, much like Will Schuster, this show, like, really doesn't, like, isn't self-aware in a lot of moments. But this plot is very self-aware and mm-hmm. it's not lying to us. And we all, like, are allowed to, like, form our own opinions about it. And, like, see it actually for what it is. Yeah. I really like it.
Yeah. I think this show, I agree with everything you said. I love this scene. I think this scene is great. I think this show has Kurt and Finn be brothers only when it's convenient for the plot.
Oh, no, I absolutely agree.
God, this show is just so... I'm trying to think of a less crude way to say this, but it's, like, so far up Rachel's butt.
Yeah.
Like, it is just about Rachel.
Yep.
And then the relationships of characters who are not Rachel only come into play when it serves the plot, and then they are completely discarded.
And they're always and the thing is, the relationships that we explore in this show are always romantic.
Mm-hmm.
They're never friendships. They're never brothers. They're never anything like that. So that's why we don't see Rachel hanging out with Mercedes all the time, because they're either enemies or those two are dating other people. So mm-hmm. why would they interact?
Yeah.
Because you don't interact with anyone other than your partner.
Yeah.
That's not a thing, you know?
Because, like, Kurt and Finn's brother relationship is one of my favorite parts of the show.
Absolutely.
And, like, I'm not going to say we never see it again, because we absolutely do. But it's not, I mean, like, call. And I will acknowledge that my siblings and I are closer than most people are with their siblings. But my sister and I went to high school at the same time for 2 years
mm-hmm.
and we, like, talked and hung out all the time mm-hmm. at school. Like, during lunch we would always eat together. Frankly, it would, like, maybe made it so that we did not have very many friends. And then, like, we had choir together, and we would, like, always be talking during choir. And so it's so weird to me to see Finn and Kurt, who, like, are brothers, and the show wants us to believe that, like, they really get along, and they only ever talk, like, every 5 episodes.
I mean, I probably have a regular relationship with my siblings. My brother I speak to maybe twice a year. My sister I speak to, like, once a month. I speak to frequently, but, like, actually talk, her and I talk, like,
yeah.
like, have a talk like this. It's not frequent.
Mm-hmm.
My step siblings, I've never spoken to like this.
Yeah.
But I do understand what you're saying. But I would, like, they're friends first, and then mm-hmm. also brothers. They're friends that happen to be brothers, you know, like.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wish I could see more of this.
I agree.
I do love.
It's a very special part of the show.
Mm-hmm. I do love Kurt being so supportive of Finn and helping him, because he sees how Finn is doing this out of fear. And him being like, what are you talking about? Like, you are so unique. You have, like, so much going for you. I hate to say this. I don't think I super agree with, like, the exact way Kurt describes Finn as being unique. Where he's like, you know what musical theater programs need is football players who can't dance.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know how true that is. but I get behind the sentiment of, like, Finn, stop comparing yourself to Rachel.
Yeah.
You aren't Rachel, but that doesn't mean you are less unique or less talented or less valuable than her. It just means you're different. Listen, start looking at the stuff you have going for you.
I've been to a musical theater program. They would eat Finn alive. They would love him. That's probably true. Oh my God. They would just like, they would cast him in everything. He would be everywhere. Oh my God. He should like, and that makes so much sense to me who's been through that, but I'm sure it's like hard to like picture that. Especially for this school who like doesn't have a musical theater department, which is whack. Why is he pursuing musical theater? Why is Kurt being like, this is a thing he should do when like Finn didn't even do West Side?
I know. That's also weird to me is I'm like, we know that like Finn really likes Glee Club.
Yes.
But have we ever actually had him vocalize that he's interested in like the arts as a career?
Yeah.
Because it is. You're so right. It's weird that Kurt is like, well, obviously you should major in musical theater. And like he did Rocky Horror, which never performed, and that was it.
He was great in it.
And he didn't like it enough to do West Side.
True. Oh, absolutely. And he wanted to do West Side. He didn't want to do it so he could like focus on football, which obviously is off the table now in some sense. I don't know. If I was Finn's friend, I'd be like, I don't know, start a band or something. You're great at the drums. You're a beautiful singer. You know, do the arts. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's also so many options.
Well,
you know, that obviously feel unavailable to him because it's hard. It's hard looking at your future and trying to like decipher what to do.
Well, and maybe the show didn't do this because it's too on the nose, but they don't beat around the bush that this is like their ultimate goal. Obviously, like Finn is mini Will. Yes. I do think Finn is a far better character than Will. But like this show very frequently props Finn up to be mini Will. And it's so obvious that the writers want Finn to like become an educator and like follow in Will's footsteps. And it's weird that no one around him sees that.
Yeah.
But it's maybe because the writers like don't want us to get ahead of the game. But yeah. I'm like, I know.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I see those seeds.
You do so many parallels between the two of them. And then beyond that, like Will is like, I mean, hello. Well, I'm doing it. Finn is like a pretty natural leader.
Yeah.
And Finn seems to be very fulfilled when he is like pushing other people to like be their best. Mm-hmm. And so it's weird to me that Kurt is immediately like, you should be an actor, something you don't show a ton of interest in.
Yeah.
I would be like, oh, get a teaching degree and then like go into teaching the performing arts.
You know what I think? I think the show writers don't think that people want to become teachers, that they fall into becoming teachers when they fail at other things.
Ew.
Which sucks. And it's such like a, I think, a really like rough narrative to perpetuate. Because that is true. There are people who, Will Schuster, who wanted to be a performer and then realized that that path wasn't for them and then had the training. So they taught others. And that's a beautiful, amazing, awesome, valid path. But there are also people who, like, God, just enjoy things and want to share that joy with others and, like, don't have, you know, like, Finn can just want to be a teacher.
Yeah.
You know?
We are spending so much more time on this one scene than I anticipated, but I do have another thought.
Mm.
I do see, though, that, like, Finn has some part of himself that, like, wants to be an educator, but he is dating Rachel and his brother is Kurt. Who both have like such huge dreams of stardom.
Yes.
And so Finn is like embarrassed of that fact.
And that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And I have like witnessed that in my own life. Like people who like feel, you know, like they're around people with a lot of ambition and feel like, you know, they need to match that when it's like,
do what you like doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
come on.
But I think it follows a pattern in this show because we had Will and then we found out that Sue did the same thing the other day, like, you know, with her wanting to be a performer.
Yeah, which then, thankfully that got cut. I hate that.
My God, I know. I mean, I guess, is that canon? I guess it's not.
No, it's not canon. But you are correct in that it was in an episode and the scenes were fully filmed and then they just cut it out.
Yeah. But even still, I think it follows a pattern that I don't like in this show.
Yeah.
I don't know, bro. I think we should move on.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Should we talk about the Will of it all?
Yes. I appreciate this plot line in the sense that Glee is like Yeah, we kind of just ignored the fact that Will is a Spanish teacher for three seasons. Like, we never ever talk about it. Mm-hmm. And also that it feels like Glee's kind of apology for being like, sorry that we lean so hard into stereotypes and we like kind of culturally appropriate on this show.
Yeah.
And I can see both those things and respect it.
Yes.
I don't like this plotline. I think it's bland. I mean, it's a Will plotline. And also, like, the cultural appropriation stereotype apology feels hollow when they continue to do it after this episode.
I absolutely agree.
So,
It does bring us Ricky Martin.
True.
Which is fun. Mm-hmm. And it does rectify some things that are wrong in this show, at least for now, which I appreciate. Like, the man got, lest we forget, he got Teacher of the Year in season one.
Yeah.
Like, and then we learn in this episode he doesn't fucking speak Spanish.
Yeah, and he did not get Teacher of the Year for Glee Club because he was not. It shows Emma looking at the picture from the previous year before he was teaching Glee Club.
Yeah, absolutely.
How on earth did he get Teacher of the Year for a class where he doesn't even speak the language?
I don't know.
Which I am glad that they're no longer trying to convince us he does. Because season one, they kept trying to convince us that he could speak Spanish, and then Matthew Morrison would speak it, and it was like, you don't speak this language.
I know. And it's like, I wonder why they picked the Spanish teacher.
I was wondering that as well.
Like, it just feels out of the blue. Like, he could have been any teacher.
I know. It's bizarre that you would make him a Spanish teacher and then not cast an actor who spoke Spanish.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you can pick literally any other class.
I know.
And he would be fine.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have to check up on him being a history teacher. Mm-hmm. You know, you wouldn't have to, like, you know, see him teaching in a class and then teach Matthew Morrison to speak Spanish, like, for 30 minutes a day. You know, like, yeah. It just doesn't make any sense to me why they picked it in the first place. I do like that they've dropped it.
Yes.
I think that's good. And I think bringing someone in who is, like, the whole idea of, like, doing something you're passionate about, you know, and like how that is something that you'll like be good at and, you know, inherently because you have love and passion for it. And like seeing David Martinez, like obviously have passion for teaching Spanish, mm-hmm. and then seeing Will in turn not have passion for it and have passion for Glee Club and like move on, you know, I think is like, I like that a lot.
Well, credit where credit is due. We did just talk about how the show frames teaching as failing a lot, and I totally agree with you on that. But just a little shout out to this.
Yeah, absolutely.
It does frame David Martinez as like, no, he was a very successful person in another career, but it wasn't fulfilling for him. Mm-hmm. He legitimately just loves teaching.
Yeah, absolutely.
So shout out to David Martinez.
Absolutely. You're so right. I totally didn't even think about that. Because I think this show is about a school, but kind of like doesn't teach, like treat teachers with a lot of respect sometimes. Mm-hmm. But seeing David Martinez like just be so excited to like help people learn and like, you know, I don't know. I thought it was beautiful. That being said, the race for tenure in this episode is so silly because it's like, Will, you don't even like teaching Spanish, you know, and like Sue, you don't teach, like you're a coach, so you teach things, but you know, I'm so happy with where this plot ended because I totally forgot that Emma was the one who got tenure, and I just, when that happened, I was like, oh, that's the best. Thank you, Glee. It's amazing. I just thought it was so sweet. Because, like, of course Emma should get it. She's the best, and she has such passion for what she does. And she, like, thinks of new ways and innovative ways to, like, help her students and is, like, open and honest and, like, ugh. I just love her.
I love Emma Pillsbury. You'll never hear me saying different. I do think her being an amazing guidance counselor comes out of literally nowhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
In this episode, I think she does a good job.
Yeah.
Name one time before this episode that she did a good job. Like,
you're right. When she was like, you should wear sunglasses to be cool.
Yeah. Like her advice before. I mean, she does have like that really good moment with Artie and Wheels. I mean, in Dream On. Mm-hmm. So there are like a few moments where she's really good at her job. But for the most part, the advice that Emma has given has been frankly bonkers.
Yeah.
But of these three characters, I want her to have it the most.
Yeah.
So I'm glad she has
it. And you know what? In this episode, she gives Sam and Mercedes some killer advice.
She does.
And she, these pamphlets are the shit. And you know what? I love the idea of her pamphlets,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think sometimes that's really difficult for young people to talk to adults about their problems. But having a little like provocative, silly pamphlet to like mm-hmm. actually like, you know, make you laugh and like make you comfortable, I think is great. And I just think it's super sweet. And I also think they're fucking hilarious. So I love that Emma Pillsbury. I think she's great.
I love her talking to Will through pamphlets. When, like, everything he says, she gives him another pamphlet that, like, is a response to that.
Yeah.
You know what I hate? Will's reaction to it.
Oh, my God.
He is so, so awful in that scene.
This is A number one. How on God's green fucking earth can they give me a scene where Sue is like, he always responds with kindness. And then show him with his partner who is trying to, like, you know, like ease tension and like play with him and like be herself, and then him be that fucking rude to her.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, this is one episode.
It's not even Will being like, hey, Emma, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not in the mood for this right now. Cause like, hear me out. That would still make me sad, but like, you know, he's under a lot of stress, whatever.
Yeah.
He is like so, so mean, makes fun of her pamphlets.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm sorry, Emma, I love you, but they're kind of silly.
Yeah.
And then when she calls him out on being mean, he goes, oh, do you have a pamphlet for that? It's like
get fucked. Like, this guy is terrible. And like, there is a, like, I don't know, like, kind people don't do that, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, people can be backed into a corner and, like, feel, like, upset and, like, lash out. But this is, like, premeditated. Like, what? You don't like her pamphlets ever? Like, dude, hello? No,
it's like
we get it. You're upset.
It's super personal.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I just think he's the worst.
Just rising with kindness.
You know, he was always rising with kindness. It's like, dude, stop lying to us.
Also, at the end of the episode, when Beast is telling Will about how Emma's pamphlets helped their football team so much, and you can see on Will's face that he's super jealous.
Yeah.
He's not like happy and proud of Emma. He's just like so pissed and jealous that she's getting complimented. What on earth?
Beast has to like prompt him to be like, aren't you proud of her? And he's like, yeah.
Call. He is awful.
And it's not until she gets tenure that, like, he's like, oh, wait, this is good for my family.
Yeah, he's like, we're getting married, so our kids will have health insurance. Okay, I'm happy for you. I'm proud.
Like, fine. I guess if it can't be you, me, it can be you, I guess. I do benefit from this. God damn it. He is terrible.
Just let Will be the villain. Honestly, stop trying to pretend that he's incredible. I have so little to say about this. Those were like my main thoughts.
Yeah. Those are my main thoughts too. I mean, I feel like we should be talking about...
Well, we have to talk about the songs at least.
Yes. Yeah. And Ricky Martin more. But the thing is he's not even in this show very much. Let's talk about the songs and then we'll talk about the interaction with Santana and Will.
Okay.
And then if we have any other thoughts.
Okay, so, Sexy and I Know It right off the bat.
Oh, my God. First of all, what's with this show and making teachers sing like very provocative songs with children? It is beyond me, but it's also like, I'm not surprised. Mm-hmm. I'm disappointed, but not surprised.
I'm not surprised.
What?
It's Sunday in the Park with George.
Oh. I'm not surprised about, you know, so like, let's state that first. Like, this is inappropriate to talk to like sing around children. That put aside, this number is very fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, this is how Gwyneth Paltrow did it. You know, we're not surprised.
We're not surprised.
Something about Ricky Martin's voice scratches my brain in the nicest way. Like, he's just got like such a beautiful, clear speaking voice and mm-hmm. singing voice. It like is a timbre that like very much agrees with my ears. I should listen to more Ricky Martin, I swear. Because like, even the way he says, I'm sexy and I know it. I was like, oh my gosh, I love the way this man speaks.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. So I love this rendition of the song. I think it's very fun. I like the like phrases in Spanish. I think it's very exciting. I love it.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I just truly hate this song, like, as a song.
Sure. I like it better than the Mafiaos.
I hate this song. And I don't think it's fully the song's fault. I just think it was so overplayed that I'm sick of it.
Absolutely.
And so I don't like this number just because I'm like sexy and I know it, I've had enough.
Yeah.
I do find it funny. The other songs in this episode, they will do like a verse in English, a verse in Spanish. Mm-hmm. This song is so Spanglish.
Yeah.
He will say a full sentence in English, but have one word be in Spanish. Like, there's a part where he's like, "This is how I roll. Animal print pants fuera de control." It's like, what? Why?
I love it.
I do think that that is so funny.
I wonder, like, who they, like, hired to, like, translate some of these songs.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, was it Ricky Martin for this one? Well, you know, I doubt it. But isn't that a fun idea that he was just like, I'll do it, you know?
This is random. Mm-hmm. Because the songs in this episode, like they say, it's all supposed to be, like, Latin pop or, like, Latinx singers, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, where am I going with this? Oh, and this is the first one they sing. And I was like, this just feels like you want streams, which I'm sure it was. They want sales on iTunes because the song was really big. But then I was like, well, is LMFAO, are they like Latinx? I actually don't know. And so I went on their Wikipedia page. This does not answer that question.
Mm.
But I did find out that they are the son and grandson of Berry Gordy from Motown.
Huh?
Yeah, like the Motown guy, Berry Gordy.
Yeah.
Wild.
Like, what's the, like...
Like, you'll give me $100 for all my songs? Where do I sign, Mr. Berry Gordy?
Literally.
Not Berry Gordy.
Wow, that Berry Gordy. $100 for all my songs.
Wild.
Wow.
Wild.
I didn't know that at all.
I still don't know if this is a Latin song.
Sure. Well, I mean, I get the sense... Well, and even Will says something like... and there is an Elvis Presley song in here. So I think it's just like the assignment is to sing a song by someone who is Latinx or translate a song into Spanish.
Oh, you're so right. You're so right.
And I think they just wanted to do this one.
Yeah. And then they wanted to sell songs on iTunes.
Yes.
Everyone's favorite segment, back again. I think this is, no joke, the biggest, most obvious turtle watch we have had.
Oh, easy. You see him in the back of the class, like...
Mm-hmm. When it's specifically, because Will is very jealous of David Martinez. Of course he does. Minors are finding him sexy. Yeah. Will wants all the minors to find him sexy.
Yeah.
And so, specifically during the wiggle, 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 it shows Will, and he is, like, biting on his lips and looking all sad. That's a turtle.
Yeah.
If a zoologist was watching this show, they'd be like, why? That's a turtle.
That's a turtle.
That is legally a turtle.
Yeah. A legal turtle.
That is a legal turtle on scene during that.
Uh-huh.
Holy cow.
Wow. Turtle watch.
Animal print pants fuera de control.
That's my thoughts on that song.
Yeah.
Then we have La Isla Bonita.
Once again. Hi, this is a student. She's 17.
Totally. It bothers me less because I know both of these people are gay. But yes, I completely agree.
I mean, but like, Santana is gay. Who knows about David? And then actor-wise, that's swapped.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean. I'm joking.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
No, I completely agree. I'm glad that those two got a song together, though, because, like, you know.
Yeah, no, I genuinely do really like this number. And it is, like, sexy, and I know it. It is so obvious to me that it's an adult and children because they're, like, in the classroom and all the kids are sitting there. This number doesn't bother me unless I think too hard.
Yeah.
But isn't that also problematic?
Yeah, and I mean, I was watching pretty hard to try and, like, find something to be upset about. And frankly... The dance, at least to me, and maybe I'm fucked in the head, doesn't feel, like, very sexual.
True.
I think they tried pretty hard to make it look like, oh, this is, like, an adult and, like, a teenager, like, doing a dance.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel predatory in any way to me, personally. Mm-hmm. Like, the idea, obviously, is, like, gross, but, like, I feel maybe I'm messed up, mostly unbothered. Because, like, they absolutely could have, like, done, like, way more, like, sexual moves, but they're most of the time dancing like next to each other, like linked arms, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Also, it's the same thing. I just need something to talk about.
Absolutely. That's the fucking thing with this episode, is it's like, what can we talk about? You know?
That's all I have to say about Lady Sabonita.
I know. It's very fun.
Yeah. It's good.
I'm glad that we see Santana, like, speaking Spanish and, like, you know, living her life. I love
those lights.
They're beautiful. I hate that Ricky Martin leaves to not see the Elvis Presley song. Come on. It's like the call to adventure. Come on, dude. I don't know. That being said, let's move on to a little less conversation. What can we say about it?
Exactly. We keep being like, okay, let's talk about this. Let me get there. And I'm like, do I have anything to say?
Exactly. I know.
This number accomplishes what it set out to do, which was to be like, oh, Will is using stereotypes. And so this number is like, he's a mariachi and he's a matador and there's a mariachi band and he is like a bullfighter and blah, blah, blah. It accomplishes what it set out to do. I appreciate the sentiment in Santana calling it out.
Yeah.
But as we already mentioned, they then continue to do it on the show. So
that's the thing is like this episode in particular and the song really trip me up. Because they are self-aware when it's convenient for them, but they still do stuff like this that are like, that, you know, things that are pretty tone deaf. And then they do these moments where it's like, no, I know you have a self-awareness to know when things are tone deaf, but you're like calling it out sometimes. Like, it makes me like, I can't take it as seriously because you still do it. And like, I don't know when what's what, you know?
Yeah.
Huh. That's all I have to say. That being said, we do get the scene afterwards with Santana, like, calling out Will and being like, no, like, you're perpetuating stereotypes. Like, you're not a good teacher. Like, of course, I'm the one who turned you in. Oh, my God. This is a big thought I have about this episode. This whole season in general. Like, why is everyone so against, like, turning people in for things they're doing wrong? Like, Will finds out it's Santana who turned him in and like complained about him as a teacher, and he is like, you're messing with adult things here, Santana. And she's like, you're messing with my education. And like, I think it ends in a better place than a lot of the situations we've seen in the past, i.e. like Quinn wanting to turn in Shelby, and like, God, like the New Directions wanting to turn in Barry Allen. Thank you. But this episode too, like, what the fuck is going on? Like, why is this show so weird about, like, you know, turning people in for things they're doing wrong? What the fuck? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Huh? What? Huh?
Yes. I do think this episode, like you said, is on Santana's side.
Yes.
That it's like, she did the right thing by turning them in. Once again, though, why does this episode have a whole monologue where Sue is like, Will is so great, I want him to be my baby daddy. Like, I want him to father my child. Whereas in this episode itself, a student reports Will for, you know, offending her culture. Yep. And he's like, Santana, you're messing with adult things. It's ridiculous. I don't know. I like this scene. I would like it more if anything changed. I do especially like how Will is like, well, what are you talking about, Santana? Like, that wasn't offensive. Look, the rest of the class liked it.
Yeah.
And her being like, that's because they don't know any better.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I do enjoy this scene a lot.
I absolutely do, too.
Woo. Some other thoughts I have about this episode. Why does night school have a hallway bell? What's that about? Who's running that? Is someone in the admin office clicking the bell button? Come on.
Did you have a bell button at your school?
I don't know how bells work at school.
I think they're just timed.
Oh, they're timed. Okay, the night school could have one, I guess.
Yeah. I think they just like ring like, you know, 5 minutes till and then on the hour.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well then, never mind. I'll take that back. Night school can't have bells if it wants. Will singing
can
like...
Can you imagine? It's just like Becky Jackson like sitting there all day and ringing the bell. Like, boop, boop. And if you forget, if you like go to the bathroom,
they
like,
will never leave class.
Yeah.
They're in class until they, no one knows how to read a watch. Will singing La Cucaracha with Puck and Finn is so on brand. He wants to be cool. Of course, he sang it with those two specifically. I just, every scene that is like Will being buddy-buddy with Puck and Finn reminds me so much of a very specific teacher I had in high school who
like, makes my bones melt.
Favored the popular kids and wanted to be friends with them. And it makes me furious.
Pass me 2 coins for the boat, man.
For real. For real. She just mimed grabbing the coins and putting them on her eyes.
I hate doing physical things on the podcast sometimes, because sometimes I'm like gesturing to like make things make sense. And how do you do that on like a...
You do it and I narrate what you're doing is how you do it.
Is that how that happens?
My final thought about this episode, we're not going to talk too much about this, but I feel like we have to shout this out, because if we don't, people are going to email us about it. We've talked a lot about Glee being weirdly prophetic and that it says stuff that comes true. Will asks the class where they think they will be by 2030. Mm-hmm. Mark Salling says in jail or dead or both. Both those things happened to him by this year, 2021.
Yes. And we're aware of that.
Yeah. So very weird that that is spoken in the episode. Moving on.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, let me look at my notes really fast. Oh my God. Listen. Brittany says, ooh, I'm bilingual. And maybe it's just, you know, I'm listening for it more, but they make way more bisexual jokes than I thought happened. Like, obviously they do not like talk a lot about it, but it happens more than I thought. What?
Why did I not know that was a bisexual joke until just now?
Wait.
I was really? Like, oh, I guess Brittany speaks 2 languages.
So she's bisexual.
That's funny.
I know. But it's happened more frequently than I thought it would happen. I don't think it happens much, but it's happening more. And I think credit, I'm going to give credit where credit is due. If in my mind, they truly never uttered the words that Brittany was bisexual. But like, she is like saying as much, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that she has said the words, I'm bisexual.
I don't think she ever does. I think the closest we ever get is bicurious.
Yeah, and then bilingual.
And bilingual. I could be wrong, though.
But I'm going to call it out just because it's important to me. Anyway, I think that's all my thoughts on the episode. We've been recording for an hour 20. Sometimes we don't even get done with the Glax by this point.
For real. At Michael, we finished the Glax and I was like, we're an hour into this.
I know.
Well, we got to go to Disneyland. There wasn't a lot to talk about.
We also have to go to work in an hour.
No, we fully have a full performance of our show before we go to Disneyland.
It's also our sensory-friendly performance, which is something I'm very excited about.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, so I'm excited. But I'm just going to be thinking about Disneyland the whole time.
Let's do best part, worst part.
Okay. Doom, doom, doom.
Best part, worst part.
Boom.
What's your best part?
With whose vagina?
A good pick.
I think that's my best part. There are like good parts of it about this episode, but truly, none of them are standing out to me in this moment. What's your best part?
What's your best song, though?
Oh God, I'm gonna say it. I think my best part is Bumbleo/Hero. I think
that's
fun.
That's a good pick.
I think it's lovely.
It's a good pick.
I also love Sexy and I Know It. I'll give my tip of the hat to that one. Because I think it's fun. And his voice gentleman. Just like, you know me. His voice just like scratches like parts of my brain. Oh my gosh. What's your best part?
I do really like Bumbleo and Hero. But since you picked it, I think I'll say La Isla Bonita.
Very good.
I like that song. My best part is Raj Washington's like 2-minute monologue.
Oh my God.
The whole thing is so funny.
It's so good.
Incredible.
I know.
Truly, you know what's sad is that Ian Brennan also wrote Night of Neglect. Ian,
what a weirdo.
Let's take a long look in the mirror. What's happening to you?
I guess they never miss, huh? You got a girlfriend. I bet she doesn't kiss ya. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
God damn it. You got TikTok way too late.
I did. Sorry. Anyways, what's your worst part?
I think my worst part... Oh, God. Just the fact that they don't know who Will is. Like, he's so terrible. I'm going to say my worst part is him being so terrible to Emma.
Yeah.
But then with that, like, him being like, oh, he always meets me with kindness, that Sue says. Like, shut the fuck up. No, he doesn't. What's your worst part?
You took mine.
Sorry.
So I will say them doing this whole episode about like, oh, we're sorry that we focus so much on racial and ethnic stereotypes and we culturally appropriate. Oh, please forgive us. And then continue to do it for three more seasons.
Yeah. The show sucks. You guys, the show is so weird.
Do you have an assignment of the
week? I do.
Yes.
Do you?
I do.
Yay. Okay, cool. Let me find it. What are you singing this week?
Okay, I'm singing Duele el Corazón by Enrique, not Martin.
No.
Iglesias.
Cool.
It is so good. I love this song so much. I think there might be an English version. I'm not sure. But I love, love, love that song.
Man. Enrique Iglesias. I remember they used to play his music video with the one with like Jennifer Love Hewitt in the bowling alley. And I always remember it being like a little too sexual to be playing into like a family bowling alley, but still like not being able to look away. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, when you're 8 years old and you're like just staring.
Did you have a little, what's wrong with me? Why do I feel this way?
Literally.
I'm going crazy. I did get TikTok early enough to see that trend.
Okay. I am singing I Could Fall in Love by Selena. Do you know anything about Selena?
Like, I know who she is. I don't know if I know her music very well.
She is incredible. They talk a lot about how, like, Ricky Martin really brought, like, Spanish language music to, like, the forefront in, like, 1999, mm-hmm. which is true. But, like, Selena was out there like making music like in like early 90s, like in like being a, like just a pioneer. And she is beautiful and amazing. And I watched that movie with J-Lo mm-hmm. and it changed my life as a child. And I just think she is lovely. And that song is amazing.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a season wrap on the Spanish teacher, El Maestro de Español. Y ya pues. If you want to, well.
Why'd you put candy in your mouth?
You have a bowl of peppermints from your Christmas in July party that was fully 2 months ago still on your table, and I have to eat them. They're in front of me.
Well, we should also mention that we still have our decorations up.
All the Christmas decorations are still up. This party was like mid-July.
Yeah. It
was
July 25th.
It is late September.
It's almost my birthday.
Yeah. Si tienen pensamientos acerca de este episodio de Glee y pueden enviarnos un mensaje de voz por anchor.fm/recurringglee y pueden enviarnos un correo electrónico por nuestro correo electrónico que es recoveringgleek@gmail.com. My Spanish is not what it used to be. I had to think really hard to say that.
Honestly, sounds great to me.
Y bueno, pueden, ¿cómo se dice? ¿Seguir? ¿Sería seguir? Bueno. Y pueden seguirnos en las redes sociales. Nuestro TikTok es @recoveringgleek_podcast.
Nuestro, that's my favorite part.
Nuestro Instagram.
It's the drop back down into English. It's thank very you. Funny.
Nuestro Instagram es @recoveringgleek_podcast también. Mm-hmm. Y nuestro Twitter mm-hmm. es @recoveringgleek. Mm-hmm. Porque @recoveringgleek_podcast tiene demasiado caracteres. Nosotros nos vamos a Disneyland. Mm-hmm. Pues... necesitamos irnos. Chao. Que tengan un buena semana. Que den glee a todas las personas esa semana. Y no sé. Chao. Y aquí está un beso para su... ¿Cómo se dice? Oh.
I was totally going to say, here's a tiny beso on your forehead.
Aquí es un besito para su frente. Gracias.
Love you guys. See you later.
Les queremos. Adios.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok @recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
Wow, that was embarrassing.
No, it wasn't. It was great. Well, also, that's coming from someone who does not speak Spanish.
So. There's a lot of moments of me just being like, you guys, I used to speak Spanish. I don't think I've had a conversation with someone in 2 years.
So. Didn't your... maybe you don't want to put this on the podcast, but this is just a question. Didn't your sister, like, major in Spanish?
She did, and now she's a dental hygienist. She did fully major in Spanish.
She doesn't speak Spanish with you?
No, that's the dumb thing, is quite literally every member of my family, sans one sister, speaks Spanish yes. to some degree. We don't have the self-discipline. My parents used to speak Spanish when we were kids when they wanted to gossip.
Oh, yeah.
To like, you know, like talk about people, but they like didn't want to set a bad example or like have us here.
That's awesome.
Right?
That's half the reason I want to learn another language so I can like ostracize people. All right. Well, I'll see you in Disneyland, player.
Bye.